Welcome to CFO Radio. I'm Lorraine Chilvers, host of the show. CFO Radio is the only radio show that explores the passion of today's CFO and examines the innermost thoughts of the financial world. Financial perspectives for today. Lee Cantor is our executive producer. Lee, if you'd like to introduce our sponsors.
Absolutely. Today's show is brought to you by Delaney Consulting, LLC, providing financial leadership to fast-growing companies, interim management, project-based consulting, and permanent placement. Visit their website, DelaneyLLC.com, and SAP Business by Design, an integrated on-demand solution that helps small to medium-sized businesses run their entire business. With no software or hardware to buy, install, maintain, or upgrade, you can focus on what is important, your business, not your software. Visit SAP.com for more information.
And starting off today's show, we have a news announcement from CFO.com. This month, CFO.com announced that Sarbanes-Oxley and a more tolerant SEC may be why companies are restating financial results less frequently, says a new report. The number of financial restatements fell in 2009 for the third year in a row, according to this new report, which was produced by research firm Audit Analytics. The report details that the Sarbanes-Oxley Act and the Securities and Exchange Commission are behind the decline. Well, today's guest, we are very honored to have our sponsor, SAP, take part in the radio show. And I'd like to welcome Frank Iannotti, national leader of SAP Business by Design, to our show.
Good morning.
We're very pleased to have you here, Frank. Now, Frank, you've served in many different roles as a consultant to a product expert of various different financial products, and today as National Vice President of SAP by Design, both at PeopleSoft and today at SAP. Tell us a little bit about what brought you to the roles you're in today.
As you mentioned, I've been in the industry for quite a while, and having served in serving large enterprise organizations as well as small and medium businesses, what brought me to the role I'm in today is really just a passion for next generation technology. So when you look at business by design, it really addresses as a solution a lot of the challenges that small and medium companies are faced with today in dealing with applications and software.
Now,
like you said in the introduction, we want companies to focus on what they do best, not focus on their software.
Now, you've mentioned in that the role of the CFO, and you've mentioned a couple of times today, has the role of the CFO over the last 10, 20 years changed in respect to technology?
Absolutely. I mean, the role from certainly what I've seen has evolved dramatically. It used to be kindly referred to as bean counters in the past, with a primary focus on the financials and a heavy, heavy reliance on the CIO and IT to make system choices. Fast forward to today, what we're seeing is the CFO is heavily, heavily involved in setting the strategy for the organization. The CFO is much more technically savvy, having been involved with many system selections and evaluations over the years. And we see that same trend on the business side of the organization. We're seeing a lot more or less reliance on IT. As a matter of fact, in many cases, you're now seeing that the IT or the CIO is reporting directly into the CFO. So this is a trend that we are seeing is what's fueling software as a service. CFOs have tremendous pressure to grow the business with less resources. They have a continued focus on reducing cost. And in doing that, they have to rely a little bit less on IT. And, the role of the CFO, like I said, has absolutely taken on a much more strategic level.
Very unique, very interesting, and that has created that evolution of bean counter to perhaps data manager. Now, we are just coming out of a recession. You've talked about lowering the cost of IT, lowering the cost of infrastructure. You mentioned a term, software as a service. Talk to us a little bit about what that is. And then as we're coming out of the recession, do you think part of that focus on infrastructure and costs is what's leading us into software as a service?
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about software as a service. So, companies traditionally had to have systems to operate their back office operations, whether it be human resources, financials, customer relationship management, supply chain products, all the way down to manufacturing solutions. And in most cases, you know, companies were faced with acquiring the hardware, database, operating system, having an IT support infrastructure to maintain those systems, provide backup and recovery applications. So it created a very complex environment. And like I said, it really wasn't a core competency of a business, was to become an IT shop, but it was a necessity. Fast forward to today, what software as a service provides is a way for companies to get the benefits of software without having to have that infrastructure in place. So, for example, SAP now provides a software as a service solution called Business by Design. All you need to do to access the application is have connectivity through the Internet.
Is that what they call cloud computing?
Exactly. Here it referred to as software as a service or cloud computing in many cases, correct.
That's a little bit scary for CFO and the accountant. We tend to think of things in the world of rules and regime. Cloud computing's kind of a little bit scary and nebulous for us.
It has been. I mean, 18 months ago, you know, we'd have a lot of discussions, you know, putting HR data offsite and sometimes customer relationship data, CRM systems offsite. People were okay with, very, very reluctant 18 months ago to put financial data offsite. But once people started to understand the disaster recovery and the security processes that are in place from providers like SAP, they recognized that, you know, these are world-class solutions with world-class security, with world-class disaster recovery. So I'd say in 99% of the cases, CFOs realize the data is probably better served, better protected from a trusted partner like SAP than it would be in their own internal operations.
Now,
so
that's
today, when we talk about solutions being in the cloud or delivered as a service, there's a lot less reluctance to do that.
Now, that's very interesting. You've mentioned a couple of elements there. And before we perhaps get into SAP Business by Design, and I do want to allow you the time to explain what exactly the product is in some quite good definition terms. We know that your marketing campaigns, the best run companies run SAP. I know it personally. I've implemented all the large products that are ERP products. I know SAP R3 and some of your other larger products. It's a large company product. It's expensive to implement. You know what? It takes a lot of time of the company. Talk to us a little bit about that aspect and the evolution you're talking to.
Yeah, it's good news, bad news about SAP. It's the 30, believe it or not, it's the 32nd most recognized brand in the world. In many cases, people recognize it, and you see it in the airports. People associate SAP with solutions for very large companies. But if you take a look internally at our organization, we have over 90,000 customers. And if you figure, you know, there's only 1,000 in the Fortune 1000, the other 89,000 customers worldwide are really in the small, medium enterprise space. Having said that, when SAP really looked at where the market trends were going, they clearly saw that this need for software as a service was not only emerging, it was getting to the tipping point to where it's actually becoming a preferred platform.
And is that also
even with all our experience in solutions, we really made the determination we needed to build a brand new solution to address the needs of the small, medium enterprise.
So is this a totally new product, new development software teams, started with a fresh, clean slate?
Exactly. So if you look at SAP Business by Design, it's a brand new product architected completely from the ground up on a new technology platform.
And are your competitors doing the same sort of thing?
That's what's interesting. We, you know, it's as you would imagine, building a new suite of applications from the ground up takes a lot of time, takes a lot of resources, and a huge investment. And many of our competitors, unfortunately, are not in the position to make that sort of investment in this new breed of applications.
So you're very unique in your positioning right now.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. We think in many cases we're uniquely qualified, and we absolutely have a jump start to our competitors in this space.
So very unique. Okay, so you've talked about 90,000 customers, 89,000 of them being relatively small. Give us a couple of examples, if you can, of who your customers are today in using the SAP Business by Design product.
Yeah, as it relates to by design, what you know, what we're seeing today, or you know, what we were mainly seeing, you know, 18 months ago, were very innovative, high growth companies. You know, were very attracted to Business by Design because they were starting up and really didn't have any IT infrastructure in place. So a couple notable companies, first one is Skull Candy. If you're ever in any electronic store and you have an iPod and you're looking for headphones or earbuds, Skull Candy is a provider of those. They have a little skull and crossbone as their logo. They became an SAP Business by Design customer about 2 years ago. They've been very fortunate. I think they've grown over 300% since coming onto the platform, so we're very excited to be partnering with them. Two other companies in a different industry, Vita Coco and Sambazon, are in the beverage industry. Vita Coco, interesting story, high-growth company. Kind of funny story behind that. Two guys fell in love with two women from Brazil, followed them to Brazil, and as part of that whole process, said, what do you miss most about not coming back home? And they said coconut water. So these guys figured out what that was. Essentially, coconut water is very healthy and is very popular in Brazil. They decided to create a manufacturing distribution organization to import that into the U.S., and it's been on an extremely high-growth trajectory, and that's Vita Coco. Sambazon is a sister-like company on the West Coast, and they bottle and distribute juices and beverages from the acai berry. It's the new superfruit. It's got, I guess, 10 times more antioxidants than a blueberry. So two high-growth, very fast-paced, very exciting brands. And the last one I just want to mention is a company called Johnson Products. They do hair care products. They bought a small division from Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble was divesting one of their hair care lines. Johnson & Products decided to buy it. The interesting thing there is Johnson Products was faced being a small company with delivering the same high level degree of service that their customers were receiving from Procter & Gamble. So they were able to move the entire manufacturing solution onto Business by Design in 28 business days. And what they're most proud of is they've not changed. If anything, they've increased the level of support and quality that they're providing to their customers.
That's a tremendous broad variety and some very unique stories in terms of the growth pattern and why these individuals got into the companies. Is there any element of perhaps well-run small companies are using SAP by Design, or is it that the by Design product helps them to be better run? Kind of a chicken and an egg situation.
Well, what's happening is why people are really gravitating towards SAP and Business by Design is the combination. If you look at SAP as an organization, you know, we've been in business over 35 years. We understand how to support companies on a global basis. And from supporting all those large companies, what we've been able to develop are industry best practices. So the nice thing is with Business by Design, not only do we have a new platform and a new architecture and new solutions, we've taken those 35 years of experience in those industry best practices, which means what is the best way to run a company? What is the best way to take a lead, process the lead to an order, pick, pack, and ship, and deliver, all the way through that integrated process by industry? We have those best practices, and those best practices have been put into the solution. So not only getting a new product, you're getting industry best practices when you put them in place, and that is what helps these small companies become best-run businesses.
So is there some element of similarity between these companies in terms of size, well, let me ask you, what sort of size are the companies? Are they 5 million, 10 million, 100 million?
We've got companies that are startups that just got an infusion of cash that have no revenue yet, to companies that are in high growth trajectories like Skull Candy, to companies that are more mature that are, you know, $250 million with multiple manufacturing facilities throughout the U.S. or throughout the world moving off. Because what we're now seeing, and you know, I talked about earlier, we're seeing mainly very innovative, high-growth companies with no IT infrastructure wanting software as a service, really gravitating towards Business by Design. what we're starting to see now is a lot of companies are starting to shy away from having on-premise solutions and the maintenance and the burden of these big ERP systems. So we're now seeing that we are being considered as an alternative to an upgrade. We're seeing divestitures like Johnson Products, or companies that are divesting from large organizations. When they're making the divestiture, they want to put them on a lighter, more scalable, more nimble, lower-cost platform. We're seeing companies that are doing joint ventures, and we're also seeing large companies using it for their emerging markets. So maybe they've committed to a big ERP platform, but you know what? We don't want to put that big infrastructure in for these emerging markets. We'd much rather go with something like Business by Design.
So would that perhaps be a company that is at the large company level using one of the other SAP products, and that this is a great fit in for their smaller unit?
Absolutely. And they don't necessarily have to be an existing SAP customer. With the integration capabilities, they could have another core ERP solution for the larger organization, but for the emerging markets, Business by Design is a phenomenal solution, because by design is just not manufacturing focused. It's focused on professional services, business services, has a very robust project management, has very robust CRM and field service capabilities. So it really caters to a variety of industries with the breadth and depth of the solution.
So maybe in the service industry, a law firm or a CPA firm that is service or professional services oriented, they could use this product?
Absolutely. We see consulting firms where you have a couple customers that are in the biopharma space where they do field testing of drugs and other things for the biopharma space. We have consulting firms that are running Business by Design. It really runs the complete gamut across multiple industries.
Now, in that regard, do you have international companies? Today's world, a small cottage industry may actually be selling product through the internet to 20, 30 countries around the world. Does your product support that international market?
Yeah, not only that, and that's one of the advantages of SAP as an organization. Not only does ByDesign support deployment in multiple countries, SAP has the experience and the ability to support a company that does go into multiple countries. So, for example, I hate to keep going back to Skullcandy. We have several other customers that have done the same thing. If you look at Vita Coco, you know, they need facilities in Brazil. You look at Skullcandy, they're doing outsourced manufacturing in China, having to bring it into the U.S. A lot of these companies, when they come to us, they don't have that experience. So not only are they getting a best business practices and Business by Design, the solution, but when we help consult with them, we're giving them international experience and giving them a guidance on how to go into emerging markets, how to do offshore manufacturing, how to run their business in a different country. And that insight and experience is invaluable to them.
So does it handle elements of maybe foreign exchange, consolidations at the international level? And maybe even, let me ask the question directly, is it IFRS compliant?
Yeah, it's one of the nice things about Business by Design and SAP's experience. Since SAP is very familiar with running organizations on a global basis, one of the things you have when you set up Business by Design is the decision to use the standard IFRS chart of accounts, which is already pre-built into the application. We've actually had a couple customers move on to by design because they want to get ahead of the curve. They know having an IFRS chart of accounts is absolutely going to be critical to them as they expand globally, and they've already made the move to Business by Design to get on that standard infrastructure and get on that standard a chart of accounts.
Very unique. And to be able to bring all those levels of complexities and challenges, when we speak with CFOs on the CFO radio, they talk about today's challenges and they talk about how the bean counter role, as you described, has become very much more complex, very much more challenging, and also part of the CFOs that we've hosted on the show have described the fact that today's accountant doesn't actually necessarily aspire to the CFO role tomorrow because of all these challenges. You've got a solution that helps them get through that. So let me ask, we've talked some strategic elements and at the customer level. Let's get down to some brass tacks. Explain to us, what exactly is Business by Design?
So Business by Design is an integrated suite of software applications. So for example, it's got human resources, financials, customer relationship management, CRM, as a lot of people are familiar with it, supply chain capabilities, as well as manufacturing. So what it is, it's really the next generation of enterprise software, meaning it's a common look and feel across all the systems. They're fully integrated and incredibly easy to use. A big difference is, once again, it's delivered as a service. What that means is it's a subscription fee versus a big upfront license. It's accessed via the Internet, which means there's no need for an organization to have hardware or databases or any infrastructure. SAP runs and maintains the solution, so there's no need for IT resources to support and maintain the application. And upgrades are included. So a lot of the pain that I've heard over the years is, hey, once you buy into a solution and you get it up and running, upgrades could be a nightmare. They could be very costly. They could be very time-consuming, incredibly disruptive to the business. And if you get too far behind, then you run the risk of losing support. Well, with Business by Design and the software as a service model, a lot of those concerns and issues are taken off the table.
So that's at the why should you use the product level. Let's start looking at the touch and feel of the basic accountant and the person who's logging into the CRM module and so forth. When you're actually in front of it and using it, what is different about the product?
What's different about the product? There's a couple things. So the first thing that's really different is the delivery model, which we just talked about. So software as a service in general just reduces risk and reduces cost for a small business. The second thing, and what we're most proud of, is if you look at the innovations that were mainly there for big companies, we've packaged that and made it easy for small, mid-sized companies to benefit from. So, for example, this is a fully integrated end-to-end suite. A lot of small companies have to buy a CRM system. They have to have a different financial system. They're using Excel very heavily. They may have another system for manufacturing. So when you look at their ecosystem, there wasn't really an affordable end-to-end, fully integrated suite of applications that they could afford. And what happens is by getting these mismatched systems or different best-of-breed solutions, it becomes very costly to maintain, very costly to support, with very limited visibility for a small company. If you look at Business by Design, for example, it's fully integrated. So you could see from a marketing campaign to the leads that come in to the orders that were placed to how it flows all the way through the system. So you could do true analysis of where you are at any point in time. What is the profitability by product, by region, by customer? It's very easy to do because you now have it in one central place, right, with common data elements. You don't have a customer record in CRM, which is different than your customer record in financials. It's all integrated. It's all there. The other thing that's innovative is things like business intelligence. You know, business intelligence is very, very big. It's probably one of the hottest markets right now for large companies. Small companies are trying to take advantage of that capability. But once again, if you have a bunch of different solutions, trying to put a business intelligence layer on top becomes very challenging. So what we did with Business by Design is it's in the DNA of the solution. There is no business intelligence to implement. Business intelligence is built throughout Business by Design based on every work center and based on every role. So, for example, when you start to populate data in Business by Design, all the financial business intelligence comes alive. All the key performance indicators come alive. That comes from all the years of experience in those best practices. We've already put it into the solution so a small business could take advantage of it.
So are there pre-canned, what I might describe as analytic measures, analytic capabilities already built into the software?
That's the beauty of it. So we took all those best practices that we talked about and from those 35 years of experience, and we basically said, hey, we've seen this enough. We know what the core KPIs are by industry. We know what the core business intelligence and analytics that people want to utilize by industry, and we've pre-built it. You still have the flexibility to change it. You still have the flexibility to add your own, but we give you such a jump start that the value received from the solution is tremendous right out of the gate. The best part is the solution is fully complete. It's easy to use. It's very fast to deploy. I think the longest implementation for a full suite has been 3 months. And the best part yet is it's incredibly affordable.
Now, that 3 months, is it typically 3 months, or would it be occasionally 4 weeks, 8 weeks?
We've done the fastest full suite. So once again, I'm not talking just implementing CRM. We've implemented just CRM, you know, in as little as 2 weeks. But for a full suite, we've implemented as fast as 4 weeks. And I think the longest that it's taken is 3 months.
That's
so
it's a very
paradigm
unique
shift in the way it's implementations are done. In the past, a comparable solution from a traditional ERP vendor would probably take 9 to 12 months.
So in that regard,
more expensive.
Looking at that in terms of the industry, you've talked a little bit in terms of you being unique in the industry. Do you actually have any competitors?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Do you have any competitors? And if you do, who are they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When you look at the marketplace, it's a crowded space. So we see a lot of the traditional competitors in the market. So whenever we're competing in an opportunity, we'll run into the usual suspects. We'll run into companies like Oracle. We'll see solutions from Microsoft and Sage and Infor and NetSuite. But most of the competitors that we run into, once again, have a previous generation solution that can't offer the same value that we could deliver with Business by Design. So for the same implementation scope, right, our competitors will generally be much more expensive and not deliver the same capabilities. And the example that I use over and over is like the business intelligence. Most solutions, that's either an afterthought or a bolt-on, and certainly a separate project and additional costs. With Business by Design, even though the implementation is shorter, the costs are typically dramatically lower to implement, you're getting more value because you're getting things like the business intelligence automatically turned on with the deployment.
You've talked a lot about cost, Frank. Can I put you on the spot and ask you to speak to our audience about particular dollars or dollar ranges of the product?
Yeah, it's very simple. For a core user of the system, it's $149 per month per user. Keeping in mind that includes everything. That's SAP providing all the infrastructure, all the maintenance, all the upgrades. There's no additional fees on top other than some implementation fees to get you up and running and to get you trained on the solution. But the ongoing cost to run the solution is $149 per user. We have other user types. So if you have users that are just, for example, if you have a professional services firm or consulting firm and you have consultants that are just entering time and expenses, we have different user types that are lower per cost per month, more in the $11 per user per month range. So when people look at the cost of Business by Design for the value they're getting, and getting it from a reputable partner like SAP, and that's a big part of it, is they go, wow, I could now get industry best practices from the world's leader, right, SAP, that in a system that's easy to use and affordable. They're incredibly impressed and excited about partnering with SAP and Business by Design.
Well, that's exciting. Very, very exciting. It seems as if what we're talking about is a huge shift in terms of how technology can help the role of the CFO. Now, strategically speaking, we've talked a lot about organization. A lot of what you've described here is actually processes. Let's talk about the role of the systems. Is the role that the system performs and the technology performs for the finance function different today?
I think as businesses get more complicated, the need for more sophisticated real-time information becomes critical. Because if, you know, what we tell people is if you're not doing it, you know, rest assured your competitors are. So organizations are trying to find ways to become more efficient, become more nimble, to get better information faster so they could make decisions quicker. And, you know, without that, it's hard to do. So, you know, the question you got to ask yourself is, do you have the systems in place that are really going to support your strategy? If you want to go, if you're forced to put up a web store on the internet to compete, if you're forced to go into a different country. We're talking to a prospect today that their business model is fundamentally shifting. They can no longer afford to manufacture their product here in the U.S., and they're shifting to outsourcing to China. They don't have that experience. They don't have the systems that will enable them to do that. So the question becomes is that when you look at your short, medium, and long-term strategies, do you have the systems in place that can get you there? And you know, a lot of the companies are now realizing that the answer is no.
Well, Frank, this has been a tremendous session. It definitely has been a learning and educational element for me. We have one last question that we'd like to ask. We've got a tradition on the radio show to ask your CFO tip of the month, albeit that today you're not in the role of the CFO, you interact every day with CFOs all over the world. What is your CFO tip of the month?
Yeah, what I would say is, I mean, there's no doubt we're starting to see a stabilization in the economy, right? And certain sectors are actually seeing an upturn. So the question I would pose to everybody is, are you prepared to own the upturn? There's been a lot of focus, you know, externally during the downturn, meaning getting closer to customers, right? But now we're starting to see the external focus being geared back to growth. When the downturn hit, right, the internal focus was, number one, on restructuring, right? Do we have, not only do we have the right number of people, do we have the right team, right? There was a refinement of business processes. During the downturn, we saw a focus on cost containment. Now we're seeing it on process efficiencies. So the big thing is, are you prepared to own the upturn? And the challenge that I would, you know, pose to folks is, you know, look closely at your systems. Are you getting the most out of your systems? Are they capable of supporting your growth strategy? And if you have an honest self-assessment, and, you know, real question is, have you already outgrown them? So the tip of the week is, are you prepared to own the upturn and do an honest self-assessment?
That is a great tip. Thank you very much to our guest today, Frank Iannatti from SAP Business by Design. Thank you, Frank, for sharing your innermost thoughts for the today's role of CFO. We'd also like to thank our contributors, CFO.com, for the news article, and to our sponsors, Delaney Consulting. For more information, go to www.delaneyllc.com, and thank you to SAP Business by Design. For more information about their product, go to www.sap.com. And thank you for listening to CFO Radio. This is Lorraine Chilvers signing off until next time. This and other thought leadership about today's CFO is available right from your computer at www.cforadio.com.